All eyes on unemployment, the first jobs report of the election year.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. In just a few hours, we'll get the first really important economic data of 2012, the Labor Department's monthly jobs report. Economists expect a strong showing. In November, 120,000 jobs were created. And if the numbers out this morning are also strong, as they're expected to be, it would mark the sixth straight month of job gains. Employment is shaping up to be the election year issue. Mitchell Hartman has more.
Private employers added more than 1.5 million jobs in 2011. Pretty good, but not good enough to help most of the 13 million Americans who are still unemployed. Economist Kurt Rankin at PNC Bank predicts job growth will continue at this same slow pace right through election time.
Those job gains only get us down to about 8.6 or 8.7% unemployment rate.
Not all analysts are quite so pessimistic, but most still see unemployment hovering above 8%, including Andy LaPerrier at ISI Group.
That's going to feel more like an economy that's not really recovering rather than an economy that's on the mend. That's an environment where the president will be very much on the defensive.
And he says there are several potential stumbling blocks that could derail growth between now and November, like the European debt crisis, oil prices, or more congressional squabbling over spending and taxes. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
European markets are up in anticipation of good employment news later this morning. London's FTSE is up 0.3%, Germany's DAX is up 0.2%, and Chrysler announced plans to add 1,100 jobs at its assembly plant in Detroit. The plant will build a diesel version of the Jeep Cherokee. The carmaker has been on a winning streak lately. Earlier this week, Chrysler reported sales in 2011 were up 26%. Yesterday, U.S. markets were mixed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell just a hair, ending the day at 12,415. And if you feel like your boss has been piling more tasks on you, that you're being asked to do more with less, you're probably onto something. Since the financial crisis, employers have pushed employees to be more productive. Today's jobs report will also give us some new data on how productive we were in December. From Washington, Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Dr. Sandra Spohr works in Stillwater, Minnesota. Business is down and her clinic has had to cut back. The receptionist used to be full-time. Now Spohr says it's a part-time position. That's all they can afford. So even though Spohr is a physician, she has to pitch in around the office.
I'm doing more of the answering the phone and the scheduling and answering people's questions.
Spohr has to work harder. She has to be more productive.
I have to say it's harder than I thought it was going to be.
The same thing is happening across the country, in clinics and restaurants, in firms and factories. Michael Greenstone is an economist at MIT, and he says employers expect employees to do more work, to work longer hours.
What we're waiting for in the labor market is for firms to conclude that coming demand is large enough that it can't be met by squeezing more out of their existing workers and machines.
That they can justify hiring. In the meantime, companies are pushing workers to do as much as they can, more than they're used to. Gary Bertless is a fellow at the Brookings Institution. He says that when times are tough, employers have the upper hand.
Look, there's a lot of evidence that the bargaining power of workers in this job market is very weak.
No one wants to be out of work, but that's especially true when the unemployment rate is as high as it is.
When workers think that there's a good chance that they can be dismissed for putting in less than their best effort, they might work awfully hard for a long time.
Workers are reluctant to go on vacation, they're afraid to complain, and they're less likely to quit without another job lined up. Bertless says that since the recession set in, the quit rate has dropped by a third. But there's only so much workers can do to boost productivity before they hit a breaking point. And usually that's when companies realize there's an upturn in business. MIT economist Michael Greenstone says we're not there yet. Employers have a list of what they're waiting for.
Numbers 1, 2, and 3 are more demand.
In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
Ask not for whom the tax man comes, especially not if you're part of the 1%. The IRS released figures showing about 1 in 10 millionaires were audited last year. That's up 50% from the year before. Only about 1% of those earning less than $200,000 a year were audited. Most companies do business on the web using addresses that end in .com or .org. Next week, the nonprofit group that controls the internet's address system will start taking applications for new web extensions. The move is being touted as a way to spur innovation, but some big companies say it's going to be bad for business. Bob Moon has more.
When new domains have been created in the past, there's been a rush to buy up marketable words and make a profit. Big companies worry that opening a virtually unlimited universe of names from .abc to .xyz could leave them vulnerable to cyber squatters holding their brand names hostage.
This is going to impose extraordinary costs as people defensively basically purchase their own name back.
Dan Jaffe speaks for the Association of National Advertisers. That group has been joined by such iconic names as GE, Coca-Cola, and even the YMCA in trying to stop the move. Jaffe says consumers could be at risk, too, if they're fooled into thinking they're doing online business with a trusted name. On the other hand, Jim Lewis at the Center for Strategic and International Studies says the cost of creating your own web extension should put off most cyber criminals.
The first cost, get ready for sticker shock, is $185,000 to register.
And thousands a year more to maintain it. Opponents of the new policy argue that will also make it too expensive for smaller businesses to protect their own names. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, between crippling credit card bills and New Year's resolutions, January is traditionally a bad month for fast food restaurants. And so you might notice a lot of deals cropping up at a drive-thru near you. Wendy's, for instance, is offering a 99-cent cheesy cheddar burger. This weekend, KFC is unveiling an $11 weekend bucket. That would be 10 pieces of chicken. Burger King is mailing out coupon books, and Taco Bell has just brought back the 99-cent beefy crunch burrito. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.